Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute and a half past the hour, and we begin yet another horn broadcast on this, the 28th day of March, 2017. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to, you know, jump into the chat room, participate in the Madcap Mary multimedia real-time extravaganza that goes on in the 3 hours this program is live every evening from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Yes, indeed. If you do pick out a screen name and a password and jump into the chat room, you'll be met immediately by Anatole and Hoghead, Jugapunch, Laborman, B.T. Blom, and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has folded space in on a lovely Northern California afternoon to become Man Cave. Yes. Yes, indeed. And more as the evening progresses. The month of March is very nearly over, and we are running downhill toward licking the Lithuanian and nudging the Norsky and the meeting our monthly fundraising goal. Yes, and I'm happy to announce that we closed yesterday. We have no deficit from yesterday, thanks to our subscribers. And that in this case it would be Smitty in Florida and Philip in Texas and Sharon in Ohio, and Leo in North Carolina. Thank you, one and all. Thanks also to Randy in PA for what it took to make up the shortfall so that we can start this evening at $200 to go instead of $350 or $325 or $275 or it, what? Right, we're just the regular. We try to raise $200 every evening, so that, in fact, we can keep all the bills paid, so that the packets will keep passing and the internet will keep interneting, keeping this program running through the series of tubes. You know, it's not a big truck. And so that this program can be free for anybody who cares to listen. No bill has... We don't send a bill. We just don't do that. If you would like to be part of keeping the horn on the air, it's easy enough to do. You simply go to headonradionetwork.com. You click on Contribute. And if you would like to become a monthly subscriber so that you can just set it and forget it, then click on that little box that says Make This a Recurring Monthly Donation. Put whatever amount in there that you want. One of these days, the long-term goal is to have 400 people helping out at an average of $10 a piece, which will take care of, which would make things like this part of the program not nearly so urgent nor necessary. Mr. Soros, George, if I may, if you would care to put about $10,000 and click that make this a recurring monthly donation, well, shucks, we can start employing people and be in good, upstanding job creators and whatnot. if you'd like to do that, George, if I can call you George. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. If you're not George Soros, just put in 10 bucks or 15 or 20 or whatever you want to do and click that little box, or don't click the little box and just do it al fresco, ad hoc, or whatever Latin phrase we're using to describe the fact that you want to help keep independent progressive broadcasting happening day by day, week by week, and month by month. And that's how you do it. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, of course, you can send checks and money orders to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. And that will get there in time. And Boss Man Wayne takes care of all of that stuff. So thank you very kindly to our users of the U.S. Postal Service. Thank you very much indeed. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. You knew we would get there sooner or later. And so I've gotten that part out of the way. As previously noted, it is the 28th day of March 2017. Yay, I love compression brakes. There goes one barreling down the hill. Sounds like it might have been a coal truck, who knows. Because surprisingly enough, those things are still rolling around here. And the blasting's still taking place, the poisoning is still going on. Yes. In point of fact, this 28th day of March, 2017, is a Titanic Tuesday. That's the day that we celebrate Titanic incidents of right-wing thought. Yeah. And we've got just simply delightful examples thereof for this evening. You might recall that the history of Titanic Tuesday goes back to something our buddy Jim heard long, long, long ago on right-wing radio over in Beckley, West Virginia, America's fifth smallest radio market. When he heard the morning monotone, Steve, who is not a member of the fraternity of Steve, who has absolutely no ability whatsoever to put any emphasis on any syllables in his speech, and just to be in the same room with him was like talking to Lurch. And so he took a call from one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers one day, who asked, "Steve, how come you reckon it is that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near the beach." To which he replied, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." Titanic plates. Yes, yes, yes. There's still no word, no word whatsoever on the movement of the Titanic Foley food mill. Big, big table there on the Titanic. So, that's where it all comes from. And we have magnificent, mind-boggling examples today of right-wing intellect at its very most Titanic. As it pertains to the United States and the world. today was No Such Thing as Climate Change Day over at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Uh-huh. Where whatever it is that climate change is doing to the world, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini was steadfastly determined to ignore. Like unto, what was it, King Canute, who went out to the seashore and commanded the tides not to come in. Right? It didn't work. That didn't work out any too awesome good for King Canute, because the tide did what the tide does and came on in anyway. Well, we had official declarations today that there's no such thing as climate change, no matter how many people get flooded out, blown away, burned up, baked, beaned, broiled, what have you, around the nation and the planet. An executive order released this very day, whose ultimate lofty, sulfurous, brimstone-laden goal is to take away all those job-killing regulations from the poor, battered, benighted, put upon, vastly misunderstood souls of the hydrocarbon industry. Because we all know that the CEO of ExxonMobil, who is not, damn it, not Rexxon Tillerson, only gets to eat once every 4 or 5 days. And, okay, only gets to eat lobster every 4 or 5 minutes. I'm sorry, I misspoke. And is suffering mightily from the fact that the Kenyan Muslin usurper used his Kenyan Muslin usurping wizard socialism skills to try to put them right out of business and make us all ride around in clean energy solar powered Priuses. Mm-hmm. This here executive order from today, the Trump regime, I mean, this is Trump chump change. By 2030, the cost of the executive order is going to be somewhere around $58 billion, according to the Center for American Progress. Central to making America great again, by covering it in an oil slick, choking it with coal dust, and burning it to a cinder with frack gas, is rolling back the Clean Power Plan. Mm-hmm. Now, again with the numbers. The Environmental Protection Agency, back before it was muzzled and gagged and taken out behind the barn and axe-handled to death, the EPA had said that the Clean Power Plan was going to be good for America to the tune of $54 billion per year by 2030. That was $54 billion to the good versus $8.4 billion in cost to implement. Harvard University also declared that enacting carbon rules similar to those contained in the Clean Power Plan would result in a $38 billion a year net positive in the economy of the new United States of Merca.
The greatest country in the history of the world on earth today, in the universe, now, forever, under God.
But that ain't gonna happen now, I guess, because you can't have people not breathing toxic particulates and have America be great again at the same time. So those, yeah, I mean, you heard those numbers, right? Yeah. Well, not to fear, the Trump regime, see, I keep saying regime, Gene, that, right? The Trump regime had its own little study. And since they couldn't rely or sufficiently muzzle the actual real number crunching that had been done by the Environmental Protection Agency, they had to go with a bought and paid for study instead. The study was, of course, bought by the coal industry, an entirely disinterested and neutral third party who just wanted to make sure that you, me, I, we, us could have lots of hydrocarbon greatness from 300 million years ago. Mm-hmm. The Natural Resources Defense Council took a look at the NERA Economic Consulting Group. That would be your private sector there, who always does better science-y math things than government. They took a look at the NERA Economic Consulting Group study and found out what? Well, let's quote from the press release from the NRDC. NERA reaches back into its old bag of tricks, ignoring the economic benefits of pollution reductions, overstating the costs of clean energy resources, and comparing cumulative costs to EPA's annualized costs. In addition, NERA commits a severe accounting error by inappropriately counting allowance costs. As we've seen in the past, once these errors are corrected, NERA's latest study only underscores that the costs of the Clean Power Plan are modest and its benefits significantly outweigh the costs. By the way, how did the NERA Economic Consulting Group manage to get paid to come up with something for which they were paid to come up with? Well, American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity reached into its threadbare little pocket and pulled out some jingling change and paid for the study. And this has absolutely nothing. This doesn't in any way damn the credibility of the NERA study. And stop saying that. Yeah. If you go to nrdc.org and just look up, let's see, the title, New Study, Same Old Tricks, you'll find the press release. And they went to great pains to show how the folks at NERA cooked the books over a fire that I have no doubt was fueled with coal. Mm-hmm. So gone are limits on methane pollution for new oil and gas operations. Yep. Gone will be an Obama-era rule designed to eliminate methane leaks from oil and gas operations on public lands. Right. Gone are about $800 million in lost royalties over the next 10 years. Those, by the way, are our royalties, yours and mine. We, the people of the United States, working on that more perfect union. Gone is the moratorium on coal leasing on public lands, because nothing says conservation. Nothing says wide open spaces owned and maintained by the people of the United States like a giant goddamned open pit coal mine. Mm-hmm. And thanks to the executive order that lifts the moratorium on the lease of coal reserves on public lands, you and me, we the people working on that more perfect union, we're gonna take it in the shorts to the tune of $1 billion a year. And lost royalties because of the losses to the reforms. Meanwhile, none of the things that were done today by the Trump regime will do a damn thing to bring back coal the way that the poor little benighted Trumpanzees who voted for Marcus Aurelius thought he meant. There's not going to be greater coal employment. There aren't going to be 100-person shifts working day and night like little Disney dwarves in the underground coal mines of Appalachistan. No. None of that. Because we're pretty much, with all but the most limited examples, done with that kind of thing. And hoping that it's, that there's going to be just 1920 levels of employment of underground coal miners is, well, it's a bit of a unicorn hunt, isn't it? As a matter of fact, yes. Now, I mentioned that that moratorium on new coal leases on public lands. Yeah. That halt on new leases was lifted today. Mm-hmm. And it's been in place since January 2016. The moratorium had been for purposes of a comprehensive review of the federal coal program. It was the first time the prices and leases had been reviewed in over 30 years. And so that means that people like Bob Murray, companies like Arch and Peabody, will continue to pay to lease coal reserves and mine coal at penny-ante rates and laugh all the way to the bank while people choke. Over at the Center for Western Priorities, Advocacy Director Jesse Prentice Dunn said, "This order won't bring the coal industry back, but it will ensure coal companies rip off American taxpayers for years to come. Leasing our coal for $1 a ton is a bad deal." Did you get that? $1 a ton. There's no way around it. Seems President Trump is looking out for coal executives, not negotiating for American taxpayers. Yeah. And yes, Bob Murray, who has buried more coal miners alive than he can actually name, CEO of Murray Energy Corporation. He made it a big deal to make sure that the moratorium was lifted because, well, Bob Murray hasn't yet figured out that they don't put hearses behind U-Hauls. Charming, isn't it? I thought it might be wise, or, well, not wise, but valuable, just to put that out there at the front end. Of the discussion this evening, so that we can remember. This is supposed to make all those, because fracking really is the sort of ethereal elephant in the room. There never was an Obama war on coal. You know that. I know that. Poor little Trumpansies didn't know that because, well, otne ute ite bray, if you one what I in may, the umpansies tray are. And fracking gas is its own set of hellish problems. Water, air, yeah. But it was the price of frack gas from the great frackapalooza of the opening decades of the 21st century that led ever so many, and let's be clear, it wasn't tree huggers, it wasn't activists. No, it was just plain old-fashioned, dirty-ass hydrocarbon economics. One hydrocarbon was cheaper than the other. That led a lot of power stations to switch over from coal to frack gas. And not a damn thing that the administrative regime did today is going to change any of that. As Steve in New York, a member of the Fraternity of Steve, says, those aren't lost royalties. That's just a down payment on making Merca great again. And a crummy little toxic, deadly down payment it was. But, so they're not going to turn around and go, oh, we're tired of all this frack gas. Let's retool the plant to burn coal. Mm-mm. Meanwhile, states like California are still out of control because they're getting less and less power from coal, down to 50% or less of the power that of the electricity generated for the state of California comes from coal. That number is still considerably higher here in places like Almost Level West by Coal Trump Junior Stan. Mm-hmm. And for all I know, the little Trumpansies are celebrating for all they're worth this evening, because coal is coming back. And I'm honestly surprised that we don't have breakfast cereal here on the shelves in Appalachistan. Lumps o' Coal, a healthy, delicious breakfast treat.
We're what makes Santa's naughty list go.
Yeah. Where would the naughty children be without Appalachia to provide coal for stockings? Or maybe dessert cakes on your local Rippy Mart shelf called clinkers. Sort of a inky, dark cakes filled with inky, dark goo. Because we all loves us some co.
Hey, Bubble Genius makes that clean coal soap.
Yeah, they did. They did many years ago. Yeah. It was the only clean coal that actually existed. So, big fun, right? All right. And the whole universe of all this coal business is just one giant titanic piece of intellect. Never mind the fact that there are more clean energy jobs than coal jobs in every state in the union. Never mind that science is advancing clean, renewable, sustainable energy at rates far above and beyond anything that the coal industry can do to make clean coal more than the advertising slogan that it's been since the first ads appeared in Chicago newspapers in the 1920s. Never mind the bumper stickers and billboards hereabouts in Appalachistan that say, coal, clean carbon neutral coal. You know, I have a feeling if the coal industry had its way, the flag of West Virginia would just be a solid black sheet. It kind of like the ISIS flag, minus the Arabic script. Maybe it could just say "co," right? Mm-hmm. So that's a starting place. And really, it's tough to segue to other stuff, but we must somehow manage to try. Apparently, we have a new reality show in the world today called Sean Spicy versus the Black Lady, in which Sean Spicy, today known as Carbon Spice, does battle with a meek and mild black lady in the White House press room. So today, April Ryan, the black lady in question, decided to ask Spicy about the ongoing Russia problem that the regime of Comrade Kumquat has with, you know, Russia. And we pretty much all acknowledge the problem that the Tangerine Tiberius regime has with Russia. You know, everybody except, the people who Comrade Kumquat himself today said, "Were they investigating me? Why aren't they investigating Crooked Hillary? Huh?" And, of course, if you go and you look up the PolitiFact on Hillary and Russia, blah, 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 PolitiFact, a neutral, independent, third party, blah, 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 said, ain't none of that shit true. Which is why, but still, the Clementine Caligula said, "Do they need to be investigating? You need to be investigating Hillary." Anybody seen my twooper? Well, that's her purpose here, Carol Baker. Carol pointing out, good to see you have the Viking warrior princess by your side to keep you from staging an on-air nutty. She can hear. And she has this innate ability to know when maybe I might be about to just let slip the dogs of crazy, and can provide that. Well, I mean, you heard her voice. It's so soothing. It's so comforting. And that is how I keep from staging an on-air nutty. Thank you for noticing, Carol. Thank you so much. So anybody, anyway, everybody except people in the in the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini regime, and those people who go, Hillary, oh Jesus Christ, dear God, Goldman Sachs speeches, shit, oh fuck, oh Hillary for prison, oh America's going, oh America will be so much worse off under Hillary than Trump. You know, the Sparkle Pony Brigade led by Sparkle Pony Princess Jill Stein. At this point in time, I feel comfortable thinking that there was some sort of skullduggery going on. I mean, Jesus Christ. The business with Devin Nunes alone. I mean, if you watch the, what was it, 1975, 76, 77, classic Robert Redford, Dustin Hoffman, All the President's Men, based on the Woodward and Bernstein book about the breaking of Whitewater. Whitewater, Jesus, Watergate. Yeah, my neurons are playing musical chairs this evening. Hell, who knows? Sissy Spacek may have been involved. You'll recall that scene, those scenes in the parking garage with Bob Woodward, as played by Paul Newman. I did that on purpose. Hiding behind columns in parking garages to get the skinny from Deep Throat. Well, now we've got this mental image of sometime around midnight, Devin Nunes, House Chair of the Intelligence Committee, whose mere presence proves that the Intelligence Committee is a misnomer of the highest order. It gets a call on his phone, immediately gets out of his car, and hails an Uber, and has himself delivered to the White House grounds, where he is taken to view classified
information.
Never mind the fact that he didn't bother to tell his cohort, the ranking member, Adam Schiff. Never mind that he didn't bother to do it at the Capitol, where they have more than one classified secure document viewing spaces. No, he went running to the White House to be spoon-fed information showing that that the Kenyan Muslim usurper wizard had used his secret Kenyan Muslim usurping powers to spy on Trump. And that continues to just sort of burble along. Yeah. And so it was that they got to the press gaggle today, where April Ryan decided to be unpleasantly black after having already been lectured yesterday for trying to raise the issue of a 66-year-old black man who got run through with a 26-inch sword by a white supremacist in New York City. And hydrocarbon spice didn't much care for that, and he had to lecture her about how it turned out that anti-Semitism is entirely the fault of an Israeli off his meds and a left-wing black journalist. So she was back today with the annoying Russia question. Or so I thought when I paused this up earlier. Happens. Well, by God, we'll find another way. Crackle, crackle, crackle. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? Let's try this again on the other machine.
Which is the president? I'm sorry. Please stop shaking your head again. But at some, which is the president? I'm sorry. Please stop shaking your head again.
That's right. That's right. Sean Spicer is now giving direction to the White House press corps, telling them which portions of their body they may move while addressing him. Because, April Ryan kept asking him unpleasant questions about, the little Russia problem. The meetings between precious son-in-law Jared Kushner and Russian bankers for a bank that is the preferred bank for plush, cuddly, snuggly snookums pootie-poot when his favorite oligarchs get in money problems. Here's a little more. This man is going to lose his mind, what little of it he had to begin with, in front of the entire, at some point in time, there's going to be, while my assistant Jim moves in for the Thorazine dart shot, let me tell you a little more about Mutual of Omaha. And they'll just carry him away babbling.
Is it April?
April, go ahead.
Sorry. Sean, don't seem so happy. go ahead. Anyway, with all of these investigations, questions of what is, how does this administration try to revamp its image? 2.5 months in, you've got this Yates story today. You've got other things going on. You've got Russia. You've got wiretapping.
No, we don't have that. I know.
On Capitol Hill.
No, I get it. But you keep. I've said it from the day that I got here until whatever that there is no connection. You've got Russia. If the president puts Russian salad dressing on his salad tonight, somehow that's a Russian connection. But
oh my, we really are coming unglued a little bit, aren't we? If the president has borscht at his favorite deli with a big dollop of sour cream in the middle of it, you people will report that we've got a Russian problem. Russian dressing?
How?
Yeah, I know. He really. For those old enough to remember, is this better or worse than Ron Ziegler in the Nixon White House? as the walls began to close in on the Nixon administration. But the problem is, it's not a matter of Comrade Kumquat putting Russian dressing on his salad. Because, for starters, we all know he uses ketchup. That's red, too. Well, I mean, they're not red anymore, but... never mind. The problem is Mike Flynn. The problem is Mike Pence. The problem is Jared Kushner. The problem is... the list goes on and on and on of people who just happened to have connections with Russian oligarchs intimately tied to Big Bad Vladdy Daddy along the way. You know, business ties, political ties. It got so bad that Sally Yates, who was scheduled to testify before the House Intelligence Committee. Well, she ain't going to be testifying before the House Intelligence Committee anymore, because in correspondence, her lawyer said that she would be testifying about her knowledge of the workings and doings of Mike Flynn, intimate, high-ranking member of the Trump campaign, and his little hangouts with Sergei Kislyak, who set up the meeting for Jared Kushner with the Russian banker. Oops. This has nothing to do with Russian dressing. This has everything in the world to do with internal espionage against one's own country. So, poor little Dasha Spice is down to trying to mischaracterize the problem to being something, you know, silly, meaningless. We don't have a Russia problem. Your winnings, your payoff, sir. Oh, thank you. We don't have a Russia problem. Y'all have a Russia problem. Hey, yeah, keep telling yourself that, Sean.
Every single person... No, I appreciate your agenda here, but the reality is... Oh, no, no.
Her agenda is to ask goddamn questions, and you won't let her do it.
Hold on. No, at some point, report the facts. The facts are that every single person who has been briefed on this subject has come away with the same conclusion. Republican, Democrat, so... I'm sorry that disgusts you.
Disgusts? What, is she vomiting in a bucket between her legs? Aye. And, of course, the production machine just crashed. That's okay. We can do this another way. Honestly, wouldn't it be a lot simpler? And would anybody be surprised if Vodka Spice just went ahead and called April Ryan the word we know that he's thinking? Because he is. I mean, you know the word that people like Sean Spicer use to describe what April Ryan's line of questioning. It's called uppity. She's being uppity. Carol Baker pointing out... Spicy reminds me of a Russian proverb. Every sandpiper praises its own swamp. and I even got the Cyrillic script to go with it. I think there's an old Scottish proverb also that says, you do like your own brand. I think Spicy probably sniffs his own farts, but that's just me, and I'm mean that way.
Russia, Republican, Democrat, Obama appointee, career, have all come to the same conclusion. At some point, April, you're going to have to take no for an answer with respect to whether or not there was collusion.
How do you change the perception
We're going to keep doing everything we're doing to make sure that the president's...
They're going to keep doing everything they're doing. You know, like having a close female confidant of Vladimir Putin fly into Aspen at the same time that Jared and Ivanka did. Or having an oligarch's jet land at the same airport that Trump's jet lands at. They're going to keep doing what they've been doing.
President told the American people he was going to do to fulfill those pledges and promises that he made to bring back jobs, to grow the economy, to keep our nation safe. That's what he's been focused on since day one. We're going to keep focusing on that every single day.
Yeah, that's great. He's keeping our nation safe by playing. Is it 13 round? Is it 13 golf vacations now? From a guy who said he wasn't going to ever probably even see a golf course once he become the president? We've got more Russian proverbs. Another favorite Russian proverb, don't dig a hole for someone else or you will fall into it yourself. Mm-hmm. And it at the bottom of that hole just might be April Ryan going, you sure about that, Sean?
Comes Friday. Condi Rice did not support this president. She did not go to the convention. She comes. What is on the agenda? And how is their relationship? Has it healed since 2006 when he used a very negative word to describe?
So here's what I'll tell you. It's interesting that you ask those two questions back to back. On the one hand, you're saying, what are we doing to improve our image? And then here he is once again meeting somebody that hasn't been a big supporter of his. Hold on. April, hold on. You, it seems like you're hell-bent on trying to make sure that whatever image you want to tell about this White House stays, because at the end of the day, let me answer. I understand. Okay, but you know what? You're asking me a question, and I'm going to answer.
Hell-bent. Hell-bent, even. I'm sorry, but I don't... She doesn't say... I mean, you want a good demon voice for Hellbent. You know,
Why is everyone in your administration up to their nuts in Russian controversies?
That's a Hellbent voice. Bottom line is, Spicy doesn't like being asked questions that are anything other than, why is Donald Trump so gosh darn star-spangled awesome? And if he could just figure out a way to get nobody in there except people from that website that rhymes with light and fart, and that other the website, the News Muck and Red State, it might be that way. But not people who actually want answers to questions. And frankly, the Washington White House press corps is not exactly a hotbed of hardcore investigative journalism. These are the cosseted princes and princesses of American journalism. They like their access. They enjoy the privileges of their office. But at some point in time, it becomes damn near impossible to ignore the realities swirling around that room and around that building. And with an almost Zen-like approach to political analysis, Our buddy the Angry Indian simply notes, fuck Sean Spicer. Not with yours, Angry. Not with yours. Carol Baker pointing out, Spicy wants to keep the lake very, very still. That's because of another Russian proverb. In a quiet lake, there are demons. Don't rock the boat. Carol pointing out, Spicy should be glad I'm not part of the White House press corps. I could do this all fucking day. Yes, you can. And it's why we love you, and it's why you're the queen of the minions. Absolutely.
Answer, which is the president, I'm sorry, please stop shaking your head again. But at some point, the reality is that this president continues to reach out to individuals who supported him, who didn't support him, Republicans, Democrats, to try to bring the country together and move forward on an agenda.
Yada, yada, yada. I'm just going back because I'm getting a question from Scott and Punky in San Diego. I didn't see the video. Was she shaking her head no, or was he upset because she was doing that Aunt Esther angry black lady head move? Let's go down and to the right. Down and to the right. Hold on.
Want to tell about this White House stays, because at the end of the day, let me answer. I understand. Okay, but you know what? You're asking me a question, and I'm going to answer it, which is the president. I'm sorry. Please stop shaking your head again. But at some point, the reality is.
Stop shaking your head again. So I guess she had exceeded her quota of head shaking for the day. Is that it? Who knew? But what she's doing when he says stop shaking your head again is she's nodding yes at him. She's saying, which is a way of non-verbally communicating the idea that one understands or comprehends what is being said. Stop shaking your head again. No, she was definitely not getting all Aunt Esther. I think there are more than a few million of us who would pay good money if someone would. Mm-hmm. I mean, this just, I know. Just to wrap up this foolishness, shall we?
This president continues to reach out to individuals who supported him, who didn't support him, Republicans, Democrats, to try to bring the country together and move forward on an agenda that's going to help every American. That's it, plain and simple. So if you're asking what we're doing, I think we continue to do it, which is to bring groups together that have been supportive of him, that haven't been supportive of him, but that to share a goal, which is finding common ground on areas of national security, of personal security, of economic security, of job creation, of safer communities, of education, of health care, that can unite us as a country and make the country stronger.
Was it about Russia and Tillerson Friday?
I think they're good. I'm not ready to when we're done with that, we'll see if we can have a readout.
What about Russia and Tillerson Friday? I'm not ready for that one. One of these days, honest to God, he's going to come out with a 1.75 liter bottle of cheap liquor. The cap is going to be long gone. It's going to be it's going to be like something I saw at a Mountaineer game one time. Fellow was in the parking lot, and he pulled out a bottle of Jack. And he broke the seal, and he twisted off the cap, looked at it for a minute, said, don't need that no more, and just threw it away, and started passing the jug. You got to figure, Sean Spicer is not that far away at all from a moment like that. Michael in Madison, subject line, Buddy Spice. This is probably way too dark and inappropriate for the Horn audience. but a friend of mine has predicted Sean Spicer will go out like Bud Dwyer live from the White House press room. Oh, I don't think that's too dark. Michael says, me, I just hope he's wearing his old Bush-era Easter Bunny suit when he checks out. That's true, because Sean Spicer is apparently a furry. Who knew? I didn't. So we got that. And oh, so much more yet to come. Don't shake your head again. It's a minute past the hour. This is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. Big thanks going out to Mark in Florida. Thank you very kindly, Mark, for getting us halfway toward our fundraising goal for the evening. That means we only got $100 to go. 10 at 10, 1 at 100, 2 at 50, 4 at 25, 8 at 12.50, 16 at 6 and a quarter, 32 at $3.13, because we'll round up and apply that to Agnes's pool maintenance technician. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much indeed. That's how we keep all of this going. The Angry Indian points out, Ms. Carol Baker, they would not let you, Bob, or I as reporters in there in the White House press room, believe me. Or Malloy, for that matter. Oh, no. We don't know what to do with the shrimp fork, for starters. We're the kind of heathens that eat our shrimp with our fangs. All right, break time, and it being a Tuesday, this 28th day of March 2017. That means that we will. That means we've got the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen, who will probably also be talking about the end of climate change concerns here in America, at least until the next climate change induced driven hurricane, whatever, what have you. So, if you want to get involved in the conversation, you know how. The stress line, named for Bill, Mr. Stress Miller, gone but not forgotten by any stretch of the imagination. 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN, or 304-574-8178, or from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. If you've never gotten with the program before, you are more than welcome to. You're more than welcome to join in. Just send me a contact request on Skype at Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. But please, because there are a lot of trolls and catfishers and scumbags out there, include a little note saying the Horn or something like that. Or want to talk on the calling the Horn, conversation radio, something that lets me know that you're not going to immediately offer me shares in Nigerian beefsteak mines. Okay, please? Thanks. All right, so again, break time. This is the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. As Carol Baker says, if you've never gotten with the program before, get with the program now. Well said.
up. Shake it up. Shake it up.
It's Tuesday, March 2007.
This is about making sure that we have a pro-growth and pro-environment approach to how we do regulation in this country.
Elections have consequences. Trump executive order to begin ripping up Obama's climate legacy.
So the bottom line, Keystone finished, they're going to start construction when?
Not so fast. Trump approves Keystone XL pipeline, but Nebraska gets final say. North Dakota pipeline spill 3 times larger than original estimates. Plus, Maryland state legislature passes permanent ban on fracking.
All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
The executive order is going to address the past administration's effort to kill jobs across this country.
Really, EPA Administrator Pruitt? You think the previous administration was trying to kill jobs? Is that how dumb you think American voters are? Don't answer that question. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, we have been warned that this has been coming for days, for weeks, for months, actually, if anyone was paying attention to the election.
Yep, Trump's administrator for the Environmental Protection Agency, Scott Pruitt, made the announcement on Sunday on ABC's This Week, saying that President Trump will sign a sweeping executive order on Tuesday to start ripping apart President Obama's landmark climate policies.
The president is keeping his promise to the American people this week with respect to the energy independence executive order.
As we go to air, Trump's executive order is expected to be a fossil fuel industry wish list, requiring the EPA to withdraw and rewrite Obama's Clean Power Plan, the first ever emission standards for existing power plants and a crucial tool for meeting our emissions reductions targets. The order also kills a requirement that the federal government calculate the impacts on climate change when weighing new projects. It also stops federal accounting for the social cost of carbon. That's the cost cost to society and the economy of increased pollution and carbon emissions that cause dangerous global warming.
The social cost of carbon is actual dollars, the actual cost to the American economy for these various policies.
Yep.
So it's easy to put these projects in place because we won't know how much it will actually cost the U.S. economy.
That's right. Pruitt and Trump falsely claim that Obama's climate policies hurt jobs, but that's a myth. According to a new analysis of recent Department of Energy jobs data, renewable energy jobs now outnumber fossil fuel jobs in the United States by more than 2-1. Plus, economic data confirms that regulations like clean air standards actually spur manufacturers to innovate, which creates jobs. Some of Obama's climate policies can be undone quickly. Others will take years and lots of litigation. But to be clear, Trump's order will not restore U.S. coal jobs because the rest of the world is moving rapidly away from coal.
And it was interesting when Pruitt was on ABC this week, George Stephanopoulos pointed out that the number of coal jobs now is pretty much the same as the number of coal jobs 10 years ago, before Obama even took office, once again underscoring the lie of Barack Obama's war on coal.
Meanwhile, an oil pipeline spill in North Dakota back in December is actually 3 times larger than originally estimated.
Speaking of lies,
officials now say the Belle Fourche pipeline spilled 500,000 gallons into a nearby creek, making it the 2nd largest pipeline spill in North Dakota state history.
And all of that not far from the controversial Dakota Access Pipeline that water protectors have been trying to block now for months.
That revised spill estimate in North Dakota came just one day after President Trump granted a cross-border permit for the controversial Keystone XL pipeline from Canada.
What could possibly go wrong?
That's the one that President Obama originally denied. During an Oval Office photo op, however, the CEO of pipeline owner TransCanada was forced to inform Trump that they still have to get approval from Nebraska while fighting lawsuits from land owners and tribes trying to stop TransCanada from taking their land.
So the bottom line, Keystone finished, they're going to start construction when?
Well, we got to see some work to do in Nebraska to get our permits there.
Nebraska.
We've been working there for some time, and I do believe that we'll get through that process, but obviously have to engage with, you know, local landowners, tribal communities.
Trump clearly had no idea that his signature alone was not enough to build this pipeline, that it actually has to go through a process, and the people of Nebraska will also have a word or two about this.
But some good news. Despite the Trump administration's moves, states are going their own way. The Maryland state legislature on Monday approved a permanent ban on fracking for fossil fuels in the state. Maryland's Republican Governor Larry Hogan is expected to sign the measure because in a press conference last week, he said the risk to Maryland is too great.
Our administration has concluded that the possible environmental risks of fracking simply outweigh any potential benefits.
Wow, a Republican governor blocking fracking in the state of Maryland?
Yep.
What got into him?
That is an excellent question, but I'll take the good news.
I'll take it too. For much more on that good news and the other not so good news, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Told you. 14 minutes past the hour on this Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And as noted, again, thank you very kindly to Mark in Florida or points elsewhere. Mark travels some for taking care of half of the fundraising this evening. Hopefully Mark will get some friends and we will knock out the rest of it here in the next 1 hour and 45 minutes or so. Got a series of beautiful, beautiful photographs a few minutes ago from Mike in Cascadia. Absolutely stunning. Pictures from Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. Straight cliffs run for 60 miles across the monument. Straight cliffs are the eastern edge of the Kalporowitz Plateau. Well, lots of coal up there. Fucking Mike Lee, Orrin Hatch, Jason Chaffetz, and the rest of the miserable fuckers are pushing Trump to turn that plateau plateau into a giant pit. In the process, Trump would rescind the monument. 2 million acres. Breaks my heart. Fuckers. Hate them. Well, see, Mike, it's just a difference in our relative appreciations of that which is beautiful, that which is stunning, that which calls the spirit or the soul or whatever we want to call it, our essential being. You know, you can be an atheist and still be amazed by the planet that you have gotten for oh so short a period of time to live on. But none of that's beautiful to a coal executive. None of that's beautiful to Trump. Trump can't build a goddamn golf course on it, but his coal buddies tell him that they can make a shit ton of money by turning it into a giant hellscape and liquidating it. Rock Road, Hole in the Rock Road, Colorado River. Exquisite photographs. Thank you. Just thank you for the photographs, Mike. Imagine a coal mine here. A monument known for its slot canyons. This one isn't real deep, but it has great colors. The land was laid down in profile. And if you're like me, you look at something like that, touch it, and know that you are literally touching the piled up eons of time, and that we would be willing to destroy that for $1 a ton, because that's the lease price, $1 a ton for the coal they would get out of that. $1 a ton. Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Hey, Uncle Bob, how are you?
You know what? It's a relatively decent day. I'm starving, but I ain't hurting.
Well, good. Good. That's always a plus. Punky the cockatiel is napping, or was. He, since I started talking, he
perked
looked
up.
He turned and gave me a weary eye. Or maybe it was a weary eye. I don't know. It was an eye. I do know that. You were asking about which is better or worse.
Yeah, Spicer versus Ziegler.
Yeah. And you were asking folks who were around back during the Nixon days, which I was. And Ziegler was an interesting lad, as I understand it. He was the youngest press secretary. He was only 29 when Nixon hired him. Before that, and I'm not sure whether this is good preparation for the job or not, but before that, and he was the jungle, the fifth helmeted, khaki costume tour guy. You know,
yeah.
Maybe, does that qualify you to be the presidential press secretary?
I don't know. Well, I think it does.
Well,
but I'm still convinced that Jim is sitting behind a potted plant somewhere just waiting to take him down with a Thorazine dart. I mean,
yeah. But, Spicer, I don't know anything about. I'm sure that he was, prior to this, had been like a right-wing mouthpiece for some.
For the Republican National Committee, he is a minion of Rince Priebus, and if I'm not, yeah, and he's from up east. He's like a Bostonian or something.
Okay. Well, I can only judge by how he's performing now, and it is a performance. I mean, it's quite the performance. He does that typical thing that you see in Washington, and on Sunday, some people go to church on Sunday. I go to the Sunday morning pop talk shows, Meet the Press, Face the Nation, This Week with
Face the Prostitutes.
occasionally I dip my toe into Chris Wallace's Fox offering, which I don't even know the name of.
Masochist?
No, just to liven things up. Because what happens invariably on all of these shows, whether there are Democrats being interviewed or Republicans, no matter who it is, the moderator or panel member will ask a question, and the person to whom the question is posed will do everything except answer the question, okay? What they do is they respond to the question. That is, their mouth moves and a noise comes out, but it really has nothing to do with the question that was asked. And Spicer seemed that.
Okay,
in
so
way.
You were touting your old school street cred. Do you remember when Meet the Press was deadly dull to anyone who wasn't deeply into policy? I envision it. I set who look like they're who may have only been in their early 40s, but looked like they were 97.
Yeah,
I think they smoked cigarettes on set, on camera. Yeah. And there were four of them lined up across, firing squad style.
Yeah, and the host at the time that you're speaking of was Lawrence Spivak.
I do believe, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and then he died or retired, and they had a series of different hosts. But yeah, it really didn't become the show that it currently is until
it only got turned into the Balchinian disgustathon under Tim Russert, hard hitting journalist Tim Russert, who wasn't, and I mean, because I can remember when we all just when we were sitting there watching TV going, goddamn, can you ask a Republican something besides why they're so awesome?
You thought Russert did that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then it just went downhill when he had his this is the big one, Elizabeth moment, and was replaced by
David Gregory.
Disco dancing David Gregory of MC Rove fame.
I kind of liked Russert in the sense that he made the show accessible, compared to the earlier formal, staid, four ancient guys on a panel approach of Spivak,
The problem, though, Scott, is that four ancient guys lined up like a firing squad against the witness, it actually tended to produce meaningful information. Whereas the access of which you speak, the accessibility of which speak, they turned it, they turned Meet the Press into Sunday brunch romper room for the Inside the Beltway bunch.
Yeah, well, I agree with some of that, but not much. I mean, Russert did confront the people he interviewed with words, and now that didn't make them any more inclined to answer. They would respond, but they wouldn't answer. Well, how the hell did we get on Meet the Press?
I think we got here from Ron Ziegler.
Well, no, well, yeah, because Spicer, as Ziegler did, basically is in that response mode, but not answer mode. And plus, he brings a level of snarkiness to it that I don't think I've seen on anyone's part. At least Ziegler was civil. I mean, shit, his answers never made sense. I know as Watergate was unfolding, the cover-up was getting frayed around the edges. At one point, Ziegler gave that immortal response, all previous statements are inoperative. You know,
and I have to expect, I'd forgotten.
No, I'm serious. You remember that?
Yeah. The previous statements are all broken.
Yeah. All previous statements are inoperable. And that poor bastard, I sent you a video from, I found out later it was from August 20th, 1973, a little bit less than a year before Nixon ultimately resigned. There was a VFW convention, and there's actual news film footage of Nixon grabbing Ziegler by the shoulders, turning him 180 degrees, shoving him back into a gaggle of reporters who Nixon was pissed off about because they had gotten too close to him as he was entering the VFW convention hall. And I'm one. Sean Spicer is, in terms of day-to-day dealings with Trump. I always got the point or the sense with Ziegler that there was not really much in the way of direct access to Nixon. I'm not sure what I'm basing that on, other than, you know, just a gut feeling on my part.
Sometimes that's enough. And
yeah. But who is Spicer getting his talking points and marching orders from? I don't think Trump spends any time with him.
He pats him on the back when he's sufficiently combative. Since he was part of Rebus's inner circle at the RNC. That's where his direction is coming from, and of course the Republicans, because of the long remember Bernie Goldberg's "Liberals Who Are Destroying America" book. I mean, the Republican hatred for the press has long, deep roots in the politics of our era, going back to the. The press hostility of the Nixon administration. Remember in All the President's Men, the call that comes in to Ben Bradley, Katie Graham's going to get her tit caught in a ringer. Remember that?
From John Mitchell.
I believe you're right, yes.
And Steve.
Well, here we go again. You're breaking up all over the place. I suspect it's my connection and not yours. I don't know why.
Okay.
But hey, the okay just came through. But yeah, I suspect. Yeah, John, Katie Graham's going to get her tit in a ringer. And they've been hating the media ever since. Ford didn't like it when Chevy Chase began making a mockery of him by falling down all over the place and telling a plastic dog to sit, Liberty, sit. The Reagan administration. Well, I mean, the Reagan administration turned abusive relationships into an art. If you know what I mean.
You know.
I hope I won't lose you. Stand by for a minute, would you? Do I still have you? Hey, Scott, do I still have you? Wow, this is frustrating. With some different bandwidth there, I don't know. So, sorry about that, Scott and Punky. We will. So it is about 29 minutes before the hour. We are at the halfway point of the program. Interesting little bit of something, courtesy today. Headline, Business Network reached alleged Russian mobsters. I saw this earlier today, and it sort of made my spidey sense tingle, because I kept going back to that story that seems not to be getting anything resembling legs about the fact that that there was a ring of Russians whose phones really were surveilled and who really did get busted, you know, for being the Russian mob. And they were in a pair of suites in Trump Tower. And the head of the Russian mob is now rolling in Pooty Poot's arms, because he's one of his. And okay, let's say you're in Peoria, and there's only one good, really big office tower. I'm sure there are probably several in Peoria. Don't send me aggrieved emails from Peoria. And okay, so you know you're gonna. But why would Russian mobsters take space for running their mobbed up operations in Trump Tower? Oh, isn't that a little over the top, a little overt? I mean, not quite on a par with putting a sign at the top that says "Mad Scientist Boo," blinking on and off, but still. Or was there perhaps perceived to be some cachet to be gathered from renting one's offices in Trump? Now, this is a case that goes back 4 years, 2013, and FISA warrants were gotten and utilized, and they were busted, and the story just seems to have gone zip. Because initially that was reported as maybe being what the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini pumpkin spice Fuhrer heard about, that made him think that the Kenyan Muslim usurper was listening in on his, Donnie's, phone conversations. And it's gone. But I can't help asking myself questions about it, or wondering about it. Well, then, this from USA Today, published 5:05 p.m., to expand his real estate developments over the years, Donald Trump, his company and partners repeatedly turned to wealthy Russians and oligarchs from former Soviet republics, several allegedly connected to organized crime, according to a USA Today review of court cases, government legal documents, and an interview with a former federal prosecutor. The president and his companies have been linked to at least 10 wealthy former Soviet businessmen with alleged ties to criminal organizations or money laundering, among them a partner in the firm that developed the Trump Soho Hotel in New York, is a twice-convicted felon who spent a year in prison for stabbing a man and later scouted for Trump investments in Russia. An investor in the Soho project was accused by Belgian authorities in 2011 in a $55 million money laundering scheme. Three owners of Trump condos in Florida and Manhattan were accused in federal indictments of belonging to a Russian-American organized crime group and working for a major international crime boss based in Russia. A former mayor from Kazakhstan was accused in a federal lawsuit in Los Angeles in 2014 of hiding millions of dollars looted from his city, some of which was spent on three Trump Soho units. A Ukrainian owner of two Trump condos in Florida was indicted in a money laundering scheme involving a former prime minister of Ukraine. Trump told reporters in February, I have no dealings with Russia. I have no deals that could happen in Russia because we stayed away, and I have no loans with Russia. I have no loans with Russia at all. Which, if you feed it into the Trump translator, means I am up to my goddamned orange eyebrows in debt in Russia. USA Today interviewed a real estate broker in New York City by the name of Dolly Lenz. She said she sold about 65 condos in Trump World at 845 UN Plaza in Manhattan to Russian investors, many of whom sought personal meetings with Trump for his business expertise. Really? His business expertise? The guy who owned a casino and lost money owning a casino. Business expertise, the guy who has been bankrupt more times than Henry VIII was fucking married. Yeah, that expertise. And of course, as the FBI might say if they said anything, many of those super wealthy people are generally suspected of corrupt practices as a result of interconnected relationships among Russia's business elite, government security services, and criminal gangs, according to former U.S. prosecutor Ken McCallion, as well as Stephen Hall, a former CIA chief of Russian operations. Anybody who is an oligarch or is in any position of power in Russia got it because Vladimir Putin or somebody in power saw some reason to give that person that job. All the organized crime figures I've ever heard of in Russia all have deep connections and are tied in with people in government. As the old saying goes, I guess we'll just watch this space.
But remember, he has no connections with Russia. None whatsoever. None. I have no dealings with Russia. We left it alone.
Got it? Yeah, okay. About 20 minutes before the hour, let's check in with our buddy, the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry.
Hey, my man.
What's going on? I'm here, you're there, we're awesome.
Well, I'm about to ask, yeah, I'm about to ask you the same thing. What's going on? I mean, what in particular is the main topic? I mean, right now you're talking about Russia, right?
It's just Titanic Tuesday, you know, lots of examples of Titanic right-wing intellect, so.
Yeah, because I didn't hear the beginning of the show. I mean, every fucking day there is a new, supposed allegation, even though this shit is really just hardcore fucking proof. After what happened with Flynn, that should have been the goddamn end of it, but we're dealing with people who have the mentalities and the fucking sensibilities of juveniles. They are the type of children that, you know, they have to have every goddamn piece of candy. They have to have every fucking banana that's in the room. So, you know, they will never concede how crooked they are and that their fucking, if you want to call it criminality, is based on their fucking greed. They want it all. And they don't want to pay for it. They want somebody else to fucking pay for it. And I'm saying this to somebody who is of color, you know, who has been around enough drunk motherfucking white guys who get smashed, start doing a line or two, and starts talking about, yeah, well, you know, the niggas, the spicks, the chinks, you know, they're all fucked up. They should be shining our shoes. They should be fucking our asses. You know, we gave them freedom. We brought them education. They would still be living in huts if it wasn't for us. You know, Europe is the center of the world. There's never been anything else. The economy's leveling out. Things are fucking up. People like Trump are ripping us off. So who do we, you know, do we blame ourselves? Do we say the white society that our economic system did this to us? That our blindness to religion did this to us? No. We start blaming Jews. You know, we start blaming immigrants, you know, from whatever, anybody who doesn't look or think the way we do. And, you know, that's what Trump represents. But none of these folks are ever going to fucking talk about this. I didn't mean to skip to this fast.
Well, no. But they're not. As long as we continue to give them the fig leaf of economic anxiety to hide behind.
Yeah. And see, and this is where liberals in this country are fucked up. You know, you go to Europe because, you know, you're going to Europe. You go to Europe, the French is an opposite. The French communists are in opposition to the fucking other parties. The French socialists are in opposition to communists, this, that, and the other. It's not that they can't work together, but this is our fucking position. This is yours. But we have to fucking work together. Mixed economies, mixed parliaments. These fuckers don't see it like that. We're having a fucking argument over Gorsuch right now because they've been stonewalling for more than a fucking year over Merrick Garland. Who's been holding up the process? You know, do they call what they're doing obstructionism? No, they're calling it getting what they want because they're supposedly representing the American people, which is bullshit. And then, you know, here it is now. They're getting some pushback, and it's weak pushback. But pushback nonetheless, that this motherfucking Gorsuch, this shit needs to hold up until we investigate Trump and find out what the fuck is going on. Because that was the whole point of the Republicans waiting and pushing and stonewalling and bullshitting everything, was to get one of their people in so they could get one of their fucking people in on the Supreme Court and have that motherfucker sit there for life. The resistance is tepid. Like you just said, we're out here trying to apologize for them. Why?
Well, honest to God, I can speak only for myself, and I try to combat it and guard myself against it. But the fact of the matter is, we will soon be at 3 whole months of Trump come April 20th,
and it seems a lot fucking longer.
It feels like years, really, and I am worn the hell
out.
And I'd like to say that I suspect I would be this worn out even if I were in great health. And but I am. I mean, I've said it a million times, but I've said it once now, it seems like. You can't keep up. You get your head around one outrageous account of their assault on anything good and decent in this country, and along comes another one. And I don't think that's by accident. I think that's by design, Angry.
Well, kind of. I mean, you know, Stephen Bannon does believe in chaos. So does that Miller cat. Because they've come right out and said that. Now, if Obama has said anything like that, who I didn't support, if Clinton has said anything like that, who I didn't support, they would be talking about this cabal that's running. I mean, they blame GCHQ when Trump's bullshit fell apart on Twitter. They blame British intelligence for helping Obama, that somehow British, you know, that the English would rather help this black Muslim, because you know what they got going on over there. I mean, look at the mayor of London. God damn it, he's a Muslim. You know, they're going to help this nigga take over America.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, and I did. I caught the Donald Jr. Tweet at the mayor of London. I remember when this country had a hissy over Billy Carter getting all liquored up on cheap beer. Here's this nasty little git trying to get an international incident started. Trying to infer somehow or imply somehow that because the mayor of London is a Muslim, that somehow he's okay with terrorist attacks. I mean, goddamn.
Yeah, but hey. Yeah, but which terrorist attacks did they pay attention to? We just had a man who, it turns out, has been a community organizer most of his motherfucking adult life, used to work in the music business. He's fell on tough times. He's had his ups and downs. He's done a lot of shit for people over the fucking years. This is somebody in his goddamn 60s who was out here trying to supplement his meager income by collecting goddamn bottles. And motherfucking this punk ass, I'm a big ass tough motherfucking white military man, stabs him in the fucking back from behind in the fucking dark. He admits this. There's no allegations.
Rand, I mean, look, it's not every day, Angry, that we talk about someone getting killed with a sword. I mean, that hasn't been much of a thing since, say, 1865.
Even the Muslims don't do that.
But that's why when I talk about that particular case,
extremists.
When I talk about that particular case, Angry, I say he ran him through. I mean, it's you know, you get stabbed with a knife. It's, you know, you know what I mean. But this is a matter of this is the kind of shit you only see on Game of Thrones and Outlander and stuff like that, and, you know, Black Sails, where the sword goes all the way through a human being. That's how bizarre this is.
Well, it's bizarre, but at the same time, to me, it's not bizarre. Remember, I'm not bragging about this. I'm not 50 Cent. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm a real rapper because my mother got killed in a drug deal. No, and I'm not trying to diss him either. It's fucked up that he would even be, you know, that you would have a black man caught up in a situation where this is the way that he figures he can sell his goddamn record. But no, I don't brag about this, and it's still a matter of contention within my family. But we've had members of our family that have been killed by the Klan. My immediate family, I'm talking about my father and his immediate family, had to move twice because of the fucking Klan in the South. So, you know, this shit is not, you know, distant to me. This motherfucker told a reporter in whatever joint they're holding him in over there in New York City, or state, wherever the fuck he is over there, that
I'm guessing he's on Rikers.
Felt, yeah, because it was in your, I don't know, whatever the system is over there. But motherfucking, and he is telling the reporter now, like Timothy McVeigh, hey, I have no remorse for what I did. You know, the reasoning for what I did was just too many motherfucking white women out here fucking with non-white men. Especially black men, see? And fuck it, you know, I figured that if I killed a few of them, then some of these white chicks will say, hey, you know, maybe I don't want to do this anymore, and I'll get them. You know, punk asses like me will then get these white women that we normally can't fucking pull. And you know, I'm telling you, that shit is a real fucking issue out here. And I mean, I've mentioned it in passing with you before. I've had to leave restaurants and a couple of bars because these motherfuckers did not like the fact that this chick was sitting there with me. They did not like the fact that she was blonde, big tits, all that bullshit, looking fucking fly with me. And they were just like, oh, well, you know, we're not going to have this. You know, she's making a fucking mistake, blah, 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 talking shit about what's going to happen to me in the parking lot, this, that, and the other, right? I've had this shit happen to me. So, you know, when we look at this fucking situation, and I've written about this enough. When I wrote a piece about Anders Breivik, in that same period, there was a slew of killings like this. One of them happened in Washington, D.C. White guy, he goes to a sport club, health club, whatever the fuck it is. He goes to a dance class. And while these women are going through their routines, he starts shooting all of them, talking about, you know, the niggas get the hoes and I can't get a woman and all this bullshit. He gave a speech and then he started killing as many people as fucking possible. And I don't remember right now exactly what the result was, but he ended up dead. I don't know if it was self-inflicted or if the police did it, but he went in there with this complex. What did Dylann Roof say? He doesn't like seeing black men his age or whatever with white women, and he had to put a stop to this.
Well, yeah, in both cases, James Harris Jackson, Dylann Roof, I mean, there's a 400-year-old syndrome of twizzle stick dick white guys being afraid that they're being outmanned by the people that they're oppressing and abusing. I do want to go back for a moment, if I may, Angry, to the sword business, because this just keeps rolling over in my head. because it sort of ties into something I was talking about a couple of years ago, happens. Back when West Virginia made carrying a concealed weapon without a permit legal, and, you know, just every other, you know, just another day in Appalachia, I said, I wonder if that applies to swords. And we had a real good time, and we laughed some, and Tim from L.A., who is of Japanese heritage, and I, we talked about where I could get myself a good katana and a really kick-ass kimono and the pants and, you know, the whole thing. And I could just, you know, go to Walmart, go shopping, whatever, with my katana on my on my belt. Because it's concealed in its scabbard and maybe under the kimono, who knows? And it was kind of a laugh because it would have been funny to get run in by the cops for carrying a sword when it's, hey, dumbass, your bill says concealed weapon. It doesn't say concealed firearm. They probably would have wound up sending me to, you know, have my calendar checked at some state institution. But with that as prologue, you got a guy walking around Times Square, which I understand is a busy place. But you got a guy walking around Times Square with a 26-inch sword.
But he was a well-dressed white guy, though.
With a 26-inch sword.
But that's what the APB said. He was a well-dressed, handsome, well-dressed white guy.
With a 26-inch sword. I mean, I can't imagine that there was more than one guy in the entirety of Gotham walking around with a sword that night. How many guys will there be walking around Times Square with a sword tonight or any other night? I mean, I've been there a couple of times. I didn't see any people with swords.
Yeah, I had.
When you consider in New York that had to have its stop and frisk policy pulled because it was just being used to harass and annoy and threaten people of color.
That's my point.
And yet, at the same time, white guy can walk around. I mean, a 26-inch sword doesn't even hide very well under your matrix overcoat, okay? Whether it's got a curve or straight or rapier, cutlass, what have you, scimitar, somebody.
Well, see, that's...
And there's cops all over. There's cops.
You would never hear the end of this.
If there'd been a scimitar.
If it had been a scimitar wielded by an extremist Muslim or even a non-extremist Muslim. Let's just say it was a Muslim brown-skinned man who was chasing another brown-skinned man down the street because he had violated his daughter. That would have been, you know, quasi-terrorism, blah, blah, blah. And
all the white people interviewed would have
Sonovich,
right. And all the white people interviewed by the local news would have said, "Yeah, he was just running down the street, yelling of that Aloha snack bar thing." He hollers, and I was terrified. Yeah, I think he's probably ISIS.
Right. So white guy walking around with stuff like that. He was well dressed and handsome. Hey, man, you know, maybe he was just into the martial arts or something. Turns out that he was a veteran. Hey, maybe he just happened to like swords. What's the problem here?
But I mean, there's cops all over Times Square. Not one cop saw a guy with a sword and thought, that's weird.
Well, there were cameras. There's cameras in everything because remember when there was that other attack where somebody left a vehicle and it didn't really. Harm anyone.
Right, Pakistani guy, wasn't it?
They ended up getting him, something like that. Yeah, they ended up getting him like later that, like several hours later, because there's cameras all over the place down there. So yeah, nobody seemed to, I mean, they did have video of this cat, but again, I'm harping on this because this is some shit that we have to fucking talk about. They talked about him being handsome and well dressed. All he had on was a pair of fucking black boots, a pair of jeans, and a fucking a dark sweater and a peacoat. He had a decent fucking haircut. That's it. But they're making it out that Robert Redford somehow did the wrong thing, and we now have to understand what the fuck is going on now under MAGA that something like this could happen. There's no discussion about the fact that this motherfucker is a white supremacist who openly told the authorities that this was his plan to start a race war and that he's a member of a group. And the fact that he worked in U.S. Army fucking intelligence after we had the man who attacked the Sikh temple who also worked in U.S. fucking Army intelligence. These were Afghan and Iraq fucking veterans that have decided to come back and use that shit against the fucking population here. But against which part of the fucking population? He worked in intelligence. He is saying that I figured that if I fucking started doing this and if I attacked enough motherfucking black men that this would start the motherfucking race war and get these white women to stop fucking these niggas and come back to the black man and shit that they're supposed to be motherfucking giving their asses up to. You know, we can't have Wesley Pipes and all these motherfuckers that they're jacking off to in the motherfucking porn that they're watching. You know, we can't, or no, we can get off to that, but we can't actually motherfucking have that bullshit going on. So, no, you know, this is deeper. Now, all of the conspiracy goddamn theorists, they don't want to talk about this. They tried to counter with Brianna Harmon Talbot, that pretty little Yahel girl who ran into the church talking about she was attacked by a bunch of niggas in the woods. They were slapping black men all up and down that goddamn community, and they were using that as an excuse to fuck people up around the state. This is what I'm hearing through the black grapevine, that they were fucking using that shit as an excuse. You attack our women, we'll motherfucking kill you niggas, right? So here it is, she lied. And they were using that as a counter in the news stream to counter what the fuck James Jack did. And not one mainstream fucking reporter has talked about this. Why is that?
Oh, and by the way, while we're at it, we've got a new one of those. Here it is now. A brand new story out of Minnesota. 33-year-old Christopher Thissen got a gunshot wound in the arm, angry. And when he was questioned by police, he said, a black man in a bar was threatening a bartender and he shot me. And then it turned out that he left the bar at closing and found the gun in his car, at which point he held it pointing at his arm while cycling it to see if it was loaded and accidentally fired it when his thumb slipped off the hammer and made up the entire story about the fight in the parking lot. Meanwhile, every man of color within a 6-block radius, whether he realized it or not, had his life in jeopardy at that moment. And I wanted to point something else out, too. I just got a note in from Michael in Madison. Subject line, cucks? And Michael asks, isn't what Angry's talking about also the whole cucks thing is about? You know, the alt-right's favorite new insult, liberals are cucks, weak conservatives are cuck-servatives. Anyone not sufficiently obsequious to Emperor God Trump is a cuck. You're a cuck. I'm a cuck. Everyone's a cuck. I honestly have no first-hand experience with this, but I thought I'd read that cuck, presumably short for cuckold, comes from a genre of porn called cuck porn that features black guys fucking white guys' girlfriends' wives. That, to these people, is their greatest internalized fear and thus their favorite insult. And it's exactly that.
That's right.
I have no doubt that somewhere, if you could get at it, you would find that Dylann Roof and James Harris Jackson both watched cuck porn.
Man, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell something about myself. I fucking will go, you know, most places. Like I said, I've never lied about this. I'm an Uncle Motherfucking Tom. And if somebody says, here's an invite, or I'm going to a particular party and shit, I like to go see what the fuck is going on. That's why I can talk the bullshit that I talk. Because I went out there and talked to motherfucking people. I saw stuff. Well, I was invited to go with a couple one time, a rich white couple I knew, and hang on to that point. Who said, yeah, well, we're going to this particular party. Now, they didn't tell me exactly what was going on. They just said that these were friends of theirs and that, you know, it was a friendship thing. So it was a Sunday and I went with them. And what it turned out was, now, I didn't see anything. No one has sex in front of me. It was nothing like that. But I'm going to tell you something. Everybody that I met in that place had money. They were all fucking politically goddamn conservative. I mean, every fucking one. They hated the fucking Clintons because this happened when Bush was in. And, you know, Bush was saving America and blah, 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 blah. He had to do what he had to do, this, that, and the other. So out of curiosity since then, because, you know, again, I know a lot of different people. And this is Portlandia. All kinds of shit goes on down here. There's a lot of swingers down here. But what I fucking ended up finding out over the years has been, you will not find liberals in those groups. Which is not to say the liberals don't fuck. It's just to say that, you know, liberals just don't get together like that apparently and get involved in this type of shit. You know, culturally speaking, the people that I know that are involved in that say that the other people involved in it are just like themselves. Republican voting, you know, misogynistic motherfuckers and shit. Family, God, blah, 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 blah. But they will kick their fucking, you know, children out to have a fuck party at their goddamn place. And here's some of the proof for people who think I'm fucking around, that I'm just talking some bullshit. Look up Roger goddamn Stone. And I'm not just talking about how funny he dresses with his weird-ass outfits. Look up Roger fucking Stone. GOP strategist Roger.
Oh, no, he is. No.
Roger Stone and...
He is one twisted, kinky sumbitch, isn't he?
He's a fucking swinger, which I don't give a fuck. I'm all for people doing what the fuck they want to do if they're of age and if they know what the fuck they're doing and nobody's getting fucking high and nobody's being forced to do any goddamn thing. I'm totally supportive for people who want to do the fucking demi-monde. But see, the thing is, people who really do the fucking demi-monde don't force people who don't like to do that shit into it. See, conservative motherfuckers, though, they want everybody to do what the fuck they like. If they like chocolate ice cream, you better motherfucking like it or you don't like me. That means that you fucking hate me. That's their goddamn attitude. And fucking people like that. And like I said, there's all kinds of kinky shit. You know, nobody really knows for goddamn sure. We can talk about Freud all fucking day long. We can, you know, clown Masters and Johnson, whatever the fuck. Talk about the Kinsey shit, whatever the fuck. They all were controversial because they fucking talked about how fluid goddamn human sexuality is. So, you know, we have a lot of shame going on in this motherfucking part of the world. And you know, and not to say that it isn't happening anywhere else. But how do you have a fucking, this is the contradictions that I'm talking about. How do you have somebody like Roger Stone, who was a known fucking swinger? Same thing with John Bolton. His wife alleged in court doing their divorce bullshit that he was forcing her to go to swing parties. You know, the fucking walrus, right? John Bolton, who's chasing people down, yelling at them in the fucking...
Well, there's a reason he has that. There's a reason he has that porn stash.
Maybe. You know, and again, none of my business. I don't give a fuck.
This is not the sexual purity hour with Angry and Bob.
No.
But the thing is, when these people sit there and say, well, you know, we certainly occupy the moral high ground here. Yeah, then it becomes an issue.
Shit, Dennis Hastert is a dirty son of a bitch. Don't tell me about Pizzagate, you motherfuckers. Don't tell me about that when Dennis Hastert is sitting around and everybody knew about this and covered it the fuck up. There's two pieces of mine that I've written over the years that you cannot find on the internet anymore, goddamn Bob. One of them was fucking... talking about the shit that happened with Julian Assange. Not in support of him, but just to say that there was a lot of questions in trying to stop what WikiLeaks was doing at the time. And he may be being set up for a honeypot bullshit, which doesn't mean that he's a good guy, which doesn't mean he's not a jerk. I said that at the time, right? And then the other fucking thing I talked about was, now, you know, I talked about how, you know, when they were going after Libya, they were using rape. That it turned out didn't even fucking occur.
Oh, for God's sakes, it's the oldest trick in the book. I mean, remember, the entire casus belli of Bush War I was Iraqi soldiers nibbling on little Kuwaiti babies and then chucking them out 12-story windows. Remember?
Yeah, Ruta Fim. Ruta Fim in San Francisco
which
came up.
Which never
with that
happened.
The little girl that gave the testimony. Yeah, the little girl that gave the testimony was the fucking granddaughter of an Iraqi general. And she was rehearsed and told to go in there and say that shit. And after it came out that it was a fucking fraud, everybody just went, well, I guess we got suckered on that. The same thing happened with the Yugoslavian bullshit. You know, the Croatians who were fucking, you know, the Nazi supporters, they're still goddamn fascists. The Ustashi never really goddamn died out. They were killing Serbs all over the fucking place and had been doing this. The Serbs finally fucking fought back, even though they turned to be the nationalistic Serbs, right? Same thing here. I'm all for fucking black people resisting the oppression, but I'm not going to side with the motherfucking supposed copycats.
By the way, this is a big shift of topic, but
let's roll.
I almost made a joke, but I realized it would be a little too close to home. And I don't want to do that. And when the story broke that the two people doing a bunch of the Jewish Community Center bomb threats.
Yeah, I'm writing about that right now.
Yeah, one was described, of course, as a lunatic Israeli.
Yeah.
But the other one was described as a left-wing black journalist.
Not a lunatic, because he knew what he was doing, because that's part of a plot, right? But the other one, he didn't know what he was doing.
But you know, I mean, that's all I ever saw was left-wing black journalist. Glenn Ford over at Black Agenda Report? What? I mean,
well,
what the hell does that even mean?
These days. Well, what they were trying to point out was they were, you know, again, it's, you know, what sort of information am I going to accept and how am I going to filter it? No, you know, most people do not really understand how Hasbara works. They're not even aware of the term. And to suggest that not Jews per se, but that the Israeli government would have a program of propaganda, you know, people are really offended by that, even though there's been leaks of this material. I think I even still have some of these documents that have been leaked that tells not Israeli students, but Jewish students in the United States, basically to, you know, how to support Israel, that they'll actually contribute to their tuition. I believe one program, it was about a year. If they could prove that they were on social media for a year, really, really defending Israel against any sort of attack, you know, any sort of criticism whatsoever. But they were really aiming at the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement with this. And they keep passing different laws against it and rules because it really has a fucking effect. It's kicking their ass. So what this cat was doing, and again, I can't prove this, but I write about fascism, and fascism in Judaism, you know, it's there too. You know, and when it comes to Zionism, I'm kind of loath to say Zionism in general is fascist. But what I am trying to say is that this individual acting alone or acting in concert with whomever, because he was working out of Israel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And well, setting up, like apparently setting up bots to make the calls and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah, but what I'm saying is that he was actually operating out of the Israeli state. And the reason I'm pointing that out is Israel has the fucking most sophisticated surveillance shit, especially when it comes to goddamn tech, that's out there. People coming back from Israel say that, you know, They're telling me what's in my email account. I didn't give them my email shit. They knew my password and everything. So the fact that he was able to do this and the Israelis didn't know about it doesn't make any sense to me. That doesn't hold water. The other fucking bits about this is that, you know, Trump came in and did not fucking acknowledge Jewish suffering during the Holocaust. He did not acknowledge the neo-Nazis in his own motherfucking group sitting next to him in the White House. He did not acknowledge anything other than the state of Israel in terms of his anti-Arab bit. But he didn't acknowledge anything that was happening to Jews here and the threats from his supporters that are being levied against Jews. Now, those first few synagogue things, I believe, threats, I believe were legitimate because they were spread out. And, you know, these things happened quite a bit. And that one individual in Israel had nothing to do with the synagogues that were defaced. He had nothing to do with the graveyards that were being defaced. So what I believe happened was, and again, I'm speculating, that, you know, this individual, whoever the hell he was working with, decided, well, let's take advantage of this in terms of swinging Israeli policy. And let's just make it seem as if, you know, all of this bullshit is going on. Because the black cat that you mentioned, because I had his name in my head, but I can't remember it anymore. He is unstable. This son of a bitch, first off, got fired from journalist positions for fabricating stories, which is embarrassing to me as somebody who considers himself to be a journalist to some degree, because this is like the third or fourth goddamn black reporter who's been accused and proven guilty of this shit. So, you know, I mean, that's a real fucking big problem in and of itself. But he also said that the threats were coming from a woman that he actually was crawling with. A lover of his who finally realized that he was a fucking nutcase and tried to distance herself from him. And he kept coming at her trying to get away from him. And then he accused her of doing these threats. So the only real crazy one when it really comes to being unstable is the black cat, who really doesn't seem to fucking have his shit together. But the thing in Israel, they're trying to write that off as if this was something that, you know, it just happens and, you know, he was kind of crazy. So, you know, we're not really going to put any credence in this. No, I believe that was a propaganda effort done by, you know, excuse me, you know, the hard right. Zionists in this country.
Well, I did find the guy's name.
Which one?
The black journalist.
Yeah, it's out there. I just
yeah, remember. It's a Washington Post story. Juan Thompson, age 31, formerly of The Intercept.
Yeah,
Glenn Greenwald. Which, you know, Glenn Greenwald's outfit.
Yeah, and seeing Greenwald is really not looking too good these fucking days. You know, if we're going to talk about right, left, and all that type of shit, because the Intercept has had some questions raised about his backing, Pierre Odidemar, I don't know how you pronounce his name,
yeah,
but he has some shaky connections. You know, for people who are so worried about Soros and all that type of shit. You know, he's got some shaky connections in terms of where he gets his income. And Greenwald, like I said, he had contact with Snowden. He had face-to-face contact with Snowden. And now, when this Russian shit came, Greenwald was looking at him, we need to think that Clinton lost, when she didn't motherfucking lose the popular fucking vote. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, Black Agenda Report. Now, you got Black Agenda Report. I can't remember her name. Kimberly something that's on. She's a regular over there. She shows up on a program because I listen to the podcast sometimes, because it's actually getting hard for me to fucking sit through it these days. But they call themselves CPR News, and I forget where they broadcast out of, if they broadcast at all. They might just be internet-based like my show. But in any case, they've been slamming the Clintons damn near every fucking episode. And I'm like, wait a minute. So you got Trump slamming Clintons. And these people are supposed to be the hard left, and they're still talking about the Clintons. And then, you know, somebody that the regular host spoke to last week was broadcasting out of Moscow. He said that this man, I'm speaking to him via Skype, he's coming out of Moscow. I can't remember his name. And he said that the investigations that the FBI and the House Intelligence Committee are launching into the Trump administration are nuisance investigations. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is supposed to be the fucking left? You know, we really need to fucking screw our necks in and try to understand what the fuck is happening here. When you have shit like Black Agenda Report, that is still fucking, you know, talking about Clinton and basically saying that Trump isn't any worse than Obama. I mean, yeah, Obama was goddamn pretty bad in a lot of fucking ways. He was no prince. But I'm not going to fucking say that, you know, he was anything like Trump. That's ridiculous. I mean, even if you want to hop on war and not look at anything else that's happening stateside, they said there's been fucking more than 1,000 people supposed to be killed in these drone strikes and shit since Trump has been in. Civilians. I thought 100. Somebody said, no, man, it's been damn near 1,000 people if you look at all the civilians that have been killed recently. And it's like, what the fuck? So, you know, I don't know. I mean, do you have an opinion? What the fuck are we going to do about this in terms of media? How are we going to convince people that we're actually giving them real goddamn information in our programs when we got, you know, these fuckers talking about fake news and still trying to argue that Pizzagate is real, even after this motherfucker pled guilty to all of these goddamn things, and even after their fucking high priest, Alex Jones, said, hey, I got the information from somebody else.
Yeah,
I'm just reporting somebody else.
It's not on me. I was given the information. I believed it in good faith.
Punk ass son of a bitch. You lost your goddamn quote unquote journalism card, motherfucking Alex Jones. Are you motherfucking kidding me, man?
Alex Jones has never had a journalism card. Let's be clear about that.
Well, I don't know.
He's had a huckster card.
I go to my. Oh, yeah, he's got that for goddamn sure. But I know every time, because, you know, Ms. Angry and Andy and I, we do not watch television. And when we go to our friends' homes and they start flipping channels and shit, I always see Alex Jones and Jack Blood and Joe Rogan. Can get them on cable.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, and that in a larger sense. I mean, I've been talking for a couple of months now about how I bit the bullet and got DirecTV Now, so I can sit and watch the occasional sporting event. And yes, when I wake up early in the morning, I now switch back and forth between Morning Joe and whatever that CNN thing is, because the rest of it is just unwatchable, whereas Morning Joe is at least entertaining. Well, it is. I mean, come on.
I guess it's good.
I know, but you know, those moments when Mika opens her eyes really, really wide and puts on her shocked face, like today.
I thought it was battered wife.
Well, okay, it's that too, probably, but I don't like to make jokes about that.
No, I'm not joking.
No, I know. They had. And really, this guy has a name that's straight out of like a Carl Hiaasen book, or maybe his other compatriot down there formerly at the Miami Herald. Freedom Caucus member Raul Labrador, and I only laugh because, oh God, who's the other one? Not Carl Hiaasen. There was a TV show, Dave Barry. Dave Barry wrote a book, 15, 20 years ago now, I guess. But there's a passage in the book where the poor guy is just trying to find something to listen to on the radio. And every time he hits the scan button, it's a political ad for Bill Doberman. So Bill Doberman will stop crime. Bill Doberman has family values. Anyway, they had Raul Labrador, a Republican from Idaho, to the chat on Morning Joe today. They were ostensibly talking about health care and what happened to the Tryon Care plan. And out of the box, Mika said, so why don't you support paid family leave?
And he said, it should be up to the business. Well, let me see if I've got the clip here. It's more fun. It's more fun when you hear it in the original Mika.
From Capitol Hill, member of the House Freedom Caucus, Republican Congressman Raul Labrador of Idaho. Thank you. Welcome to the show. I guess I'll start off with asking you what you have against paid family leave at this point, since you seem to be against it.
Well, I just don't think it's the government's role to give businesses more things to do and to pay for. That's something that a business should decide, and it's not for the government to be telling people about that.
Yeah, we're at the point, though, where it does not exist, and you don't think at this point, I mean, do you think you would like to have paid family leave in your family? Do you think that would be important to perhaps your family moving forward in the best way possible?
It should be up to the businesses. I owned a business for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I paid for my the insurance for the people that worked for me. I gave them leave whenever they needed leave, and I helped them out. And it should be up to the individual business person to decide that.
So you gave paid family leave in your company?
I gave leave.
But not paid?
Yes. No, yes, I paid for it. I just didn't have, I don't know what your definition of paid family leave.
Well, but that would be you take leave and you're paid during the time.
Yeah, whenever they had a family issue, we paid for them. They had vacation, they had sick days, they had a bunch of things. And those things cost me money, and I did it willingly. I don't think the government should be forcing that. I know you want the government to force more spending, but I don't.
So your company gave paid family leave.
We gave paid vacations.
Paid vacations.
We gave paid insurance. We gave a lot of benefits, and it should be up to the businesses to decide whether you do that.
You didn't
or not.
Think it was a responsibility of your company to give paid family leave?
Mika, you and I disagree on this issue, and we can go around and around on it, and I don't think that's.
But the problem is, they're not going around and around. She's asking a straightforward question, and he's telling, and he's fucking lying. Because you know what? And I think you'll agree with me, Angry. If, let's say, you've got 2 weeks vacation coming, and frankly, there are precious few Americans who do, and you've saved, and you're going to go on vacation, and you're going to take the kids to Disney World, and all of that shit. And then somebody comes down with herpagonosyphilides. And suddenly you spend your vacation taking care of that, and you don't have any vacation anymore, and the money that you put down for your Disney vacation is goddamn gone. Well, that's not the same thing as paid family leave. And what amazes me is that, there's lots of countries that do that, and their economies are not in a shambles. But anyway, in the larger scheme of things, I only brought it up to say that I watch this stuff in the mornings, and sometimes, and this is to the larger question of journalism, especially of the electronic television variety, it's gotten to where I feel like somebody who doesn't, all the gossips gather over by the back fence, just past the clothesline, over by the back fence, and hey, can you believe what he said, or they're still going to church and them doing that, and so I'm not right over there in it, but watching this stuff on TV makes me feel like I'm just standing the other side of the clothesline so I can hear it. And that feels kind of icky, Angry.
Kind
of? Okay, it feels a lot icky.
I mean,
there's no actual reporting going on.
Nope.
I mean the questions about Devin Nunes. This guy really, really needs to go.
Yeah, but again, if this was Obama, would this be have gone on this long? They would have bitched and whined.
No, goddammit, if this was Obama, there would already be impeachment hearings underway.
Mm-hmm. So, I'll say it again. Why is it going hung on this long because the majority of fucking people here have not. The 85s out here. Let me get back to my fucking audience. The fucking 85s out here are going to do what the fuck they're told. 10% of the goddamn population owns and controls the fucking system. 85% of us go along every fucking day. We're what Henry David Thoreau talked about in terms of being the quiet, angry man who just went about his motherfucking day, controlled by the state, and couldn't motherfucking do anything about it. And then you got that 5% who do understand what the fuck is happening, but they're not just being oppressed by the 10, they're being oppressed by the fucking 85s who can't make a fucking decision. They don't, you know, because they're going in survival mode from one fucking thing to the next. They can't take 5 minutes. Every time I've done community work, Brother Bob, I kept hearing the same excuse. I don't have time to sit here and understand how the fucking mayor is giving the police more authority to basically kill our sons because I got to work and I got things to do and I really don't have time for this. And then I get to know some of these folks over a period of time, and I'm talking about months, over a period of time, and then find out, you know, while you were sitting here. And I'm not trying to diss anybody. I'm not trying to do a Bill Cosby pound cake speech, but I'm being fucking real here. While you were sitting there motherfucking depressed, you could have been talking about this. And what I'm saying is that when I talk about the 10%, they know that when they fucking cut your money and that when they make it fucking difficult for you, when you want education and you can't motherfucking get it, when you got to wear the same fucking underwear 5 goddamn days a week, when you're fucking like that, you're depressed and you can't fucking get up out of any goddamn thing when your mind is fucked up like that. So what do? Over in Washington State up here, they decide, okay, well, a lot of people gonna start losing their jobs. So we're gonna fucking change all of the liquor rules to where it used to be the privatized licensed liquor stores. Now you can just go like California and pick up the shit in the supermarket, right? Or at the corner store. So why would you fucking make alcohol more expensive but at the same time more readily available when you know that you're putting how many goddamn thousands of people out of fucking work? And then you're wondering why you have a crack problem, why you have a meth problem, why you have an opioid fucking problem. There's no wondering. The 85s are sitting around saying, oh, I don't understand what's happening. The 10% know what the fuck they're doing. Paul Ryan is not a fucking fool. He's a bastard, but he's not a fool. He's not stupid. When he went up there and said that Trump Care was going to cover everybody and save everybody, it wasn't that he misunderstood the motherfucking shit. He knew exactly what the fuck was
going
to happen.
He's a liar.
He's a liar. But you said it earlier when we first started up with him and I called in. We keep offering an olive branch to these motherfuckers every goddamn time. We try to help them explain shit away. That's why I don't really want to hear Pelosi. Oh, impeachment's off the table. Impeachment's off the table. We're not going to do that. Oh, well, we're not going to go that far, right? You got her fucking partner being called a wet noodle, you know, and he didn't say anything. You know, and it's just like, wait a minute. Well, we can't be partisan. I don't want to make enemies with people. Want to talk to people. Yeah, but you want to talk to people who want to talk to you. These people don't want to talk to anybody. And their fucking plan, and Stephen Bannon has said this, let's cause fucking chaos. Let's get white people so fucking whipped up and so goddamn angry and so pissed off with the minorities, with the fucking immigrants, that we can push the fucking agenda that we want. And in the meantime...
Well, it's not just whipping up the Trump pansies angry, let's be clear. Because I tried to address this from the standpoint of where we sit, and I don't mean me and that mouse in my pocket. I mean me, you, people who do this thing. You can't keep up. The thing about chaos is that you never know where something's going to blow up.
That's right. That's right.
And so for instance, while the whole TriCare debacle was going on, there was a ton of other shit that they were getting away with, the run up to all this coal and climate change business was in the works, and now you got a couple of Republicans saying, "Hey, we're not done with healthcare; we're coming back at it." And I had a note earlier today from our chief contrarian Todd, not Todd in South Carolina, who said, "See, I was right. I said that they would never do away with the Affordable Care Act before 2018. Well, unless you think that this was all some sort of set piece kabuki theater, the only reason that the Republicans didn't get away with taking health care away from tens of millions of American people and didn't get away with utterly destroying Medicaid is because they underestimated the degree of sadism that affects their own bunch of toxic sparkle ponies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because that's what the Freedom Caucus are. They are the unicorn fart powered, or the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade. That bill was not ideologically pure enough to call itself truly conservative because it wasn't vicious enough. And that's the only thing that stopped that. And frankly, I don't think either Paul Ryan or Donald Trump anticipated that.
No,
and they also didn't anticipate the fact that the sadistic wing of the GOP, which, you know, I mean, basically the Freedom Caucus is just rebranded teabaggers. Okay,
mm-hmm.
They were at and this is hard to wrap your mind around. They were at no risk in demanding that tens of millions of Americans be thrown out of their health care, primarily through wiping out Medicaid because none of their own damn constituents can get it anyway. Texas, mm-hmm. Kansas, Miss Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Stan. It didn't matter. They could do that evil shit and knew that they would never pay a penalty for it. And
they have their fucking people psychologically fucking set up in such a way they can do what the fuck they want to do.
Right. And again, because people won't. And I understand what you said earlier about, you know, how hard it is to get up and go do something, anything. But we got a lot of American citizens who will not get up off of their precious asses and go vote, either for or against their own interests. I mean, there's big doings out there now.
Yeah, but see,
go ahead.
Oh no, I didn't mean to cut you off, but see, when you said that, it made me snap because I got into a hell of a lot of fucking arguments with a lot of people who consider themselves to be black revolutionary / radicals, because I criticized what this incident where somebody started a rumor that Oprah Winfrey was giving was paying for people to get free chicken lunches at QFC or some shit at some particular location. Now, it was bullshit and it went viral on Facebook or something. And, you know, these people lined up and showed up and folks were like literally angry with her about this. And you know, fuck her. I'll never watch her show again. This, that, and the other. And I said to folks, I said, it's funny. You can't get people to fucking vote. But how many fucking folks left work early? Whatever what it was that not so much to get the free fucking chicken, which is what a lot of them were really accusing me of. But the point is that they didn't want to be left out. Okay, so there's this little fucking pot of gold thing, this little free chicken meal for the niggas that they fucking handed out. Stereotypical as that was, these fucking folks went for that shit, right? But the bottom line was, there was going to be a whole bunch of other fucking people there. There's going to be this fucking event. I can relate to QFC. I'm black, but I can relate to this Kentucky fucking colonel. You know, all of this bullshit is something for me to fucking do and be a part of. They realize this. When you look at those people who show up to those goddamn Trump rallies, or if you look at the fucking IDs on, well, I'm on Twitter, but I suppose you can do the same thing on Facebook, who are still pushing this Pizzagate bullshit and have been pushing it. And now, and I gotta fucking say this, Brother Bob, this is embarrassing like a motherfucker, but I gotta goddamn say this. Remember when we had a conversation about a year or so ago that these anti-abortion goddamn bastards had come up with some bullshit called Agenda 21 or whatever it is? that, you know, there's a plan by Planned Parenthood to kill as many black, you know, infants and prevent as many black births as possible. And that Ben Carson and a bunch of other fucking stupid asses that jumped on this bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So, again, a lot of black folks get angry with me when I point out that, you know, your conspiracy theories are not fucking true. Well, now there's a new one. Because this Pizzagate shit has been crushed. And now there's been this erroneous motherfucking report from the D.C. police that there's all these black girls missing, when there's really no more black women and black adolescents missing than any other motherfucking year. In fact, there's been less missing over the past several motherfucking years.
Yeah, that got blown up. That particular story has layers of fault in it.
Oh man.
On the one, you've got the DC police who, if we're going to view the evidence in the light most favorable to them, were trying to raise via Twitter, trying to raise the visibility of their missing persons cases. So then they start tweeting out these missing persons, and people see it on Twitter and they go, Jesus Christ, there's 20 black women are disappearing in DC at the rate of one an hour. And it was contextual.
Nothing new.
And it was contextual, though. And so it turned into this thing and had to be corrected. But at the same time, and I remember hearing about this when I traveled up into Wisconsin, there is the very real, and that's not to say the other is not real, but there is a very real crisis of murdered, disappeared Native women in the United States and Canada.
And Mexico. Because, see, people don't like to look at Mexico as part of fucking North America. There are so many women missing on either side of the border in Mexico, the Border Patrol doesn't even want to fucking give us a fucking number about it. Mexico doesn't even want to talk about it because it's all the fucking areas where there's American firms and factories. Where there's women missing. There was a serial killer. There was a woman who was killing men, leaving men out in the desert as revenge for a lot of this shit several years ago. No one really talked about that much, except to say she was the Mexican Eileen Juanos and kind of left it at that. That apparently she had been abused, and then she decided that she was going to, or somebody in her family, somebody she knew, and she decided to fucking take revenge. She killed, I forget how many men. And she let the public know, no, I'm going to fucking, for every woman that gets, you know, that gets hurt or whatever the fuck, I'm going to start leaving bodies. Now, in Canada, the last time I heard the number, because they're supposed to be having hearings about this, but they're not, 1,600 indigenous women are missing. And in two of those provinces, 70% of the assaults of the women who are reporting being fucking assaulted physically and sexually, they're being assaulted by police. They're being assaulted by Royal Canadian Mounted fucking police. Now, when the previous fucking conservative was in, Bush Lite, Stephen Harper, he said, if you've been attacked, go to the police. They're like, well, we've been attacked by the police. Well, you have to go to the police. Well, who's going to investigate this? The police. So we need an independent investigator, only if they're police.
Yeah.
Right? Then the man camps. And I can talk shit about the man camps in Dakota. Not that I know very many Native people out there, you know, only by extension. But I knew a white guy who worked for one of the firms. I won't name the firm, but he will argue with me that he's not doing anything to the environment, that fracking is natural, we're using the same ingredients that you use in food. Why? How come you don't believe me, Abby? You're a smart guy. You know, I don't understand. You know, I'm in the industry. I would never do anything like that. Well, he left his wife here in Portland, and he would fly out like every fortnight. He'd come back and forth. Well, she kind of pissed him off because she was hanging out with my wife one evening, and I guess she came home too late for him, and he got mad and packed her up and took her out there. Well, that didn't last too long, Brother Bob. Because everything I was telling him about what was happening to women out there, especially Native women, he just felt like, well, I don't like white people, so that's why I'm bringing up these false stories. Well, evidently something happened to her, and that's why he moved the fuck out. He quit that goddamn firm, and now he's working for a totally different motherfucking concern on the other side of the fucking country. We are particular about what the fuck we want to fucking argue about. When black people see other black people selling dope and fucking prostituting women, oh, well, hey, man, that's how they make their dollar, man. That's how they make their bread. Hey, why are you going to criticize the motherfucker for how he make his money, man? Well, hey, human trafficking. I'm not talking about a professional fucking prostitute. I'm talking about maybe somebody who went over to the Greyhound station and put that motherfucking young girl out there on that track. Oh, man, you know, you always got something negative to say about a black man trying to fucking do something, blah, 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 blah. That is not what the fuck I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying look at the goddamn contradiction. So now I cannot get that same brother to fucking pay attention to that shit, the contradiction on how this woman is being fucking sold out there, how she's being fucking treated and mistreated, the chances that she's taken on the goddamn street of arrest, of being beaten up if she's lucky by her fucking trick, if she's not lucky, killed by that motherfucker, if she is lucky, she can go home and pay that son of a bitch and then have to get up the next goddamn day and fucking do it. I've had pimps and prostitutes in my fucking family. Nobody can argue me about this bullshit. But the bottom line is that it's excused. Rick Ross can talk about drugging a woman and her fucking drink, and that's excused. Right? We can have motherfucking, he's supposed to be the sexiest man ever. What the fuck was I got his face. But anyway, he was going to McDonald's and goddamn waiting for fucking after he killed. That's excused. He still has a fucking career. These guys still have careers. In the meantime, they want to fucking now argue with me about Pizzagate is real because we just realized that the fucking cops are starting to, you know, we're not starting to, but just put out that all these women are missing. So Pizzagate must be real. So now the neo-Nazis.
Oh, Jesus. Really? They're actually drawing a line between those two damn dots.
Man, I told you, if you look at the Nielsen ratings, because they break it up by race, Asian, Caucasian, African, and Spanish speaking houses. There's four reports in their public, or at least they used to be. It's been a while since I looked at it. Black people watch Fox News almost fucking exclusively. Almost fucking exclusively.
You're kidding me.
No, I am not kidding you. The majority of what we deal with is entertainment. BET, which is not owned by black people. Sports. And worried about who's got beef with who and how big this chick's ass is. And whether or not Kim Kardashian did her three fucking selfies today. That's why when I go out there, it's hard for me to have a goddamn conversation. Because they don't know what's happening. They wait till they get. That's why this shit blew up in D.C. to the point where the mayor now is having a march. I believe it's this coming weekend. I believe it's this coming weekend. I'm not sure about the dates. But, you know, they got the black community up in arms about this. But the thing about it is, I've said to people, if you motherfuckers are really paying attention to some kind of goddamn real fucking information, you would know that there's black women missing all the fucking time. But they.
And that in many ways reopens or cycles back to what I said. So you're telling me that the predominant network of choice for news acquisition in the black community is Fox, and you know that just makes me want to go out and eat dirt and run rabbits. But at the same time, what are the alternatives? Because like I just said, I bounce back and forth across all these news networks, and I feel like I'm watching a political gossip show. They're all political gossip shows. And unless you're just really nasty into that, well, why the fuck not go watch BET or the Cartoon Network? I mean, hell, There's more trenchant social commentary in a rerun of Beavis and Butthead than there is in the vast majority of the of electronic so-called journalism, because they have no ability to deal with more than one story at a time. It's all this or all that, and in the meantime. Somebody's got somebody else bent over a dumpster, given what they don't want to them. So
yeah, but they'll say that's the jungle, and that's just the way it is. And too bad that you got caught out there. You should have picked better parents and a better fucking community.
I'm talking metaphorically about things that go by the wayside in terms of government, while electronic journalism is out, TV journalism is out there oohing and aahing about the one thing that they all cover. And pardon me if it does to draw a distinction to, or not a distinction, but to draw a comparison, say, between the Sherman Antitrust Act and TV news. Do you ever wonder why it is that every news network is covering the same goddamn topic? Like they've all had a meeting and agreed that this will be the thing they cover this week?
Well, that is part of it. That's why I said what I said. Too bad that you were born where you were and that you're stuck where you were. All of this bullshit is to maintain the status fucking quo. They want all of us it's a happy accident in many fucking ways. You and I have been doing news independently for quite a while. You know as well as I do, if anybody who's ever written copy, even for an independent fucking news service, we all get our shit from the AP. Everybody gets their shit from the AP or Reuters.
Well, that was one of the beautiful things when I was at CNN in the late 80s. Yeah, they paid to have every wire service on the planet, practically, come into our computer system. And so you could sit there and print out the same story, or you could print out a story about the same topic from six different wire services and sort of digest them all and come up with what seemed to be a reasonable news story out of it, reasonable mm-hmm. copy. Mm-hmm. And you also had a wider variety of stuff to put into your, in my case, it was a crummy little 5-minute newscast. But you tried to, 15, 20 seconds, boom, 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 so that you had a number of different stories in there. But that's not even, TV news can't even operate that way. CNN does not operate now like it operated in the mid to late 80s.
Back then. But see, you and I are old enough to remember that. If you're in your 20s, if you're one of these young folks who gets everything off their goddamn phone, the whole point of the design, everything is small. So you just say enough, and then that's it. So there's no, there's no real meat to anything, and there's no encouragement to learn more.
I mean,
there's encouragement to...
The primetime evening newscast would be a series of readers, voiceover videos, and 2-minute and 28-second packages from various correspondents. And that's all gone now. And hell, for that matter, the idea of a prime-time straight-up news program is gone, too. And it's been replaced.
Very Severide and all that is open.
Yeah, and it's been replaced by more or less opinion stuff.
Well, that's all Fox is.
Well, I'm not talking about.
But
just
see,
Fox.
That's the thing. No, I get.
I mean, that shit goes on at CNN too.
Oh, of course. But the thing is, when I argue with my black friends, they're like, well, Fox is more interesting than say CNN. And the only times that they really will even look at CNN is if it's a flash thing. If there's not a whole lot of shit moving on the screen, they'll flip the channel and they'll go to Fox.
Right.
Always shit flying out.
If baby Jessica isn't down the well, they're going to turn the channel. Hey, Angry, we're right up. We got about 10 minutes to go, and I want to share a couple of other things. But sure. I really appreciate the conversation. I'm trying to cut it short, but I just got to do the wrap up and everything. But I think this is a topic to take further. Why, where, when, how, what caused TV news to turn into what it turned into. I mean, we've done it a little bit here and there, but goddamn.
And well, people are reading 1984.
Yeah. Well,
kind of there.
And hopefully.
Start reading Walter Lippmann. Start reading Edward Bernays. Start reading advertising papers.
Yeah, I mean, I still love a hard copy dead tree print newspaper. I try to go down and buy one every morning.
The poor man's way of communication, which is why you don't see so many print newspapers. That's the point. You got to have money and an internet account, and you got to be near Wi-Fi. Remember, if you want health care, don't get an iPhone. Right? So, okay, no iPhone. News at all. At least with the newspaper, you got to read your investment.
Yeah, that explains why I am where I am. Angry, have yourself a good evening, my friend.
All right, my brother, and you do feel better. You know, please take care of yourself. And as always, I got to say this, everybody. I know it's fucking tough out here. I know you don't have any money. Ms. Angry Indian and I are fucking always trying to figure out ways that we can stretch things. But if you can possibly help out Bob and keep the show on the air and, you know, let him be able to relax about a little of this, I will be very appreciative. Peace.
Thank you, Angry. Bye now. Our buddy, the Angry Indian. And without Mark's early kick-in, we'd be in a hell of a spot because Mark took care of half of the fundraising for this evening. We still got $100 to go. And otherwise, it would be a great big goose egg. It'd be great if 10 folks would kick in $10 or 20 would kick in 5, and we wouldn't go into prayer meeting Wednesday with a deficit. But that's where we are. I got a couple of dandy good emails here, and I want to make sure that we share them, that I share them with you before I'm out of here for the evening. Subject line, Clinton derangement symptom, coming from Michael in Madison. I was thinking about it earlier today, Michael says. All the sparkle ponies, alt-lefties, hard lefties, whatever we're calling them, who want to cuddle with Pooty Poot and cover for the Trump regime, I changed administration to regime, Michael, out of courtesy to our news ninja, Gene, who want to cover for the Trump regime at every turn, if the tables were turned and President Hillary Clinton was at the focus of this Russian collusion scandal, obviously the entire GOP would be calling for her head on a pike, but without a doubt, the hard left wouldn't be so cuddly with Vlad either. It'd be all day, every day, stories about Pussy Riot, Polonium, and Putin's human rights record, rightly so, and conspiracy theories about how Hillary had her hand in every awful thing that ever happened in Russia. And that's the damn truth, and I don't think there's any denying it. And that is worth thinking about. Meanwhile, coming from Steve in China, while you're all over the place, and that's what, you know, that's what Angry and I specialize in, going all over the place. When do we stop talking about the president and start talking about the criminal who's occupying the Oval Office? I'm going to take that to heart, Steve. Here's a man who isn't about to let anyone get a glimpse of his tax returns and is successfully enlisting the aid of a corrupt Congress in making of their disclosure a compromise of state secrets rather than a straightforward question of personal responsibility. Where's that line in the Constitution that says the U.S. president has more civil rights than the American people, particularly those whose rights are being regularly violated by the U.S. president? Are civil rights a zero-sum game now? You'll have to point that part out to me because I'm dumb as shit. This is a bought-on-the-cheap partisan whorehouse that also can't be bothered to so much as consider the possibility of initiating the process of impeachment, especially since the matter of tax returns and collusion with foreign governments and possible interference in a U.S. presidential election is what? Off-limits? Beneath their august fucking dignity? And don't forget, we're not talking about a Congress that doesn't have the authority to demand these returns and be submitted. This is precisely the authority that they do have. We're talking about a house that refuses to obtain them for its own uses, good or bad. We're talking about a Congress that needs to keep itself out of the loop, never mind the public. We're talking about a U.S. Congress that refuses to acknowledge the need to have placed before it whatever documentation is normally, traditionally provided, routinely, by every sitting president in modern history, especially when the criminal president isn't letting any of that out. Protect my privacy, he tweets. I have civil rights. All because we must suppose tax returns got rights, too? Any prosecutor knows You don't prosecute without solid evidence simply because you aren't going to win. But knowing that you're dealing with a scumbag and a crook, that's all the evidence an honest man needs. Hey, America, you're not getting any representation in your government for all the taxes you pay. Not even a filled-in pothole. Why are you paying your taxes? It's not like you're so important anyone is concealing your returns, right? Right. Regards, Steve, in China. And of course, it becomes impossible to ignore the fact that the reason the House can do what the House can do is because there are insulated Freedom Caucus districts. Oh, sure, Paul Ryan hates the Freedom Caucus right now. But when it comes to protecting his majority, come 2018, he'll be out stumping in busted knuckle Alabama for that Freedom Caucus member from Mobile. He'll stump in Idaho for Raul Labrador, member of the Freedom Caucus. Because, you know, fuck a bunch of civics. This is power, baby. Steve also adds, in a 24-hour news cycle, the worst sin is not being a drone. Breaking story, facts. That's so journalism-y. And we can't have none of that. And so we find ourselves at the close of the program. Titanic Tuesday is at an end. I hope you'll come around and hang out for prayer meeting Wednesday. Looks like we're going to be, it looks like the deacons will be passing the plate to the tune of $300. Hopefully, maybe some of that will get knocked down overnight by our subscribers. And thank you again to our subscribers. Thank you, Mark, for jumping in this evening. We'd be in a hell of a spot without you. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks to all of you who spend all of your precious, finite time engaging in this conversation. You'll never know how much it means to know that you are there. Because it's not like there are any footlights I can try to peer beyond to see you. This is, after all, radio. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and to Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.